ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैः स्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। सो इन चैप्टर 6 ऑफ द भगवद गीता सो फार वी हैव कवर्ड 3 टॉपिक्स। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल इज मेडिटेशन, एंड भगवान हैड टोल्ड अस व्हाट इज मेडिटेशन, हाउ टू मेडिटेट, व्हाट टू डू during meditation, how to prepare, how to get the body, settle the body, then how to quieten the mind and center it upon the self within, all the techniques, and then also the obstacles during meditation, what problems we may encounter and how to overcome them was all covered by Bhagwan. And the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about the topic of equanimity. How a person who regularly meditates and has advanced in his spiritual journey remains equanimous, you know, remains calm and balanced in all heat and cold, success and failure, joy and sorrow, honor and dishonor, whatever things that come from the world or from the surroundings, this meditator is able to remain calm. And one who has controlled his mind. And then the second topic that we had talked last week is Bhagwan saying that this person sees oneness, sees me in everything, and everything in me. Yo mam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pashyati tasya ham na pranashyami sacha mena pranashyati. Bhagwan says, one who sees me in all and all in me, then I am never separate from him. I'm always with him. And so today, the first shloka, number 32, the points are written there on the board, on the TV. It talks about the final instruction from Bhagwan Sri Krishna about this topic of oneness and sameness, means being calm in all situations. He emphasizes certain points. And then 33 and 34 is Q&A. Now, Arjuna has an opportunity to ask questions, and how Arjuna asks some beautiful questions. We will study them today, and then the answer that Bhagwan gives will be covered next week. So, chapter 6, number 32. Atmaupyena sarvatra samam pasyati yorjuna sukham vayadi va dukham sayogi paramo matah. Together, number 32. Atmaupyena sarvatra samam pasyati yorjuna sukham vayadi va dukham sayogi paramo matah. So, atmaupyena, seeing the likeness, similarity of the self, the atma, seeing that one atma everywhere in all, samam pasyati, and he sees everybody as equal, he or she, whoever the meditator and the yogi, Bhagwan tells yogi, samam pasyati yorjuna sukham va yadi va dukham, whether in joy or sorrow, remains the same, remains equanimous. Sa yogi paramo mataha. Mataha means it is my opinion that yogi is supreme. Not only mataha means my opinion, but mataha means he is considered. So everybody considers this yogi as supreme, one who sees the Atma self everywhere, sees the same in all, and in joy and sorrow remains balanced. So yogi, you know, yogi is in the last line. So what is yogi? Our idea of yogi is, you know, somebody who is orange clothes, goes to the forest, or is, you know, meditating all the time, able to do all kind of asanas. Those are, of course, yogi. But yogi for us, you know, we are not having orange clothes, we are householders. One whose mind is always connected with Bhagwan, and who, when he works or she works in the house, in the world, becomes an agent or an instrument of Bhagwan. I think somebody's cell phone is on. So becomes the same and remains the same to all, the equality and the oneness. And such a yogi is considered supreme. So, atma opyena, through the similarity of the self or the likeness of the self, samam pasyati yorjuna. So, yogi we talked about. Yogi is also what Bhagwan says is yaha, yaha pasyati. Yaha means when Bhagwan says yaha, what he means is that this knowledge is not only limited to certain castes or certain sects. Like some people say, only Brahmins can study this knowledge, or only Hindus can study. Or Christians say, oh, you have to come to only my church, then only you can study. So Bhagwan says it doesn't depend on, you know, in the past they used to say women cannot get this knowledge, only men can. Or Brahmins can only get this knowledge, not lower caste. So Bhagwan says, yaha means whoever that person may be is qualified for the knowledge as long as his interest is there, he is sincere. And atma means the self, the consciousness, om, that we see there, that is in everyone. He knows that there is one atma, one self in everyone, not only in me, but in all humans, animals, birds, plants, fish. The one consciousness illumines everything. and everybody is able to function because of that presence of consciousness, Atma, and they are all one. Actually, there is only one Atma, one consciousness. We think, oh, my Atma, your Atma, his. No, there is one Atma, one consciousness that pervades everything, even in rocks, stones, everywhere this Bhagwan's presence is there. But it manifests differently. Like in a stone, it is still, it is inert, doesn't do anything. In a plant, it grows. It has the ability to grow, but cannot move around. Then in animals, birds, fish, it has the ability to fly, to swim, to move around. But they don't have much thinking ability, discrimination. They have limited, you know, ability to think, but not the power to discriminate. But it is only in humans that we are blessed with this ability to understand this knowledge in our intellect and to contemplate upon it and ultimately see the consciousness within me. That is the highest point where when a master who is realized sees that one Atma in me has complete experience of that. You and I have intellectually heard, oh, there is Om, there is Atma within me. But this wise person has actually lives with that awareness at all times, the presence of Atma at all times. So such a person is considered to be supreme. And upma means comparison. So just as, you know, upma means comparison, means there is no difference between different humans. There is no difference between humans, plants, animals, because the Atma is equally there. It's not that the Atma is less in somebody and more in somebody. Upma also means the likeness, that everybody is one. So that understanding the wise person has, and that is covered in all these teachings so far that we have done. And it is, he sees not only they are all one, but they are all in me, because I am Atma, I am consciousness, just as all of us are consciousness. And so just as in my body, my eyes, my ears, my nose, they are equally dear to me. If my finger pokes my eye accidentally, I don't punish the finger and beat it. No, the same finger I use to caress the eye, because the finger is me and the eye is me. So we don't have any difference. You know, even if one part of my body is hurting, my other part will go caress it. If the body has a bad ulcer, it needs, you know, doesn't get better with treatment, and the doctor says, you cut it off, he'll say, no, 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 doctor, I want a second opinion. He'll go for a second opinion. He's not satisfied. Then he'll go to homeopathy, Ayurvedic. He'll try everything to preserve that leg or that hand. That is, so just so he sees, because he sees himself in all. So similarly, a wise person sees himself in all and has no distinction between, you know, who is who I am and who is everybody. And that understanding, just like mud, you know, one mud alone is there in all the parts, vases, cups, plates, saucers. There is one mud. It may have different colors, different gold trim and blue and all. But inside there is this one brown mud. So similarly, one Atma is in all. And that Atma I am, that Brahman I am. So people have this wrong idea who don't have not studied Vedanta, that Vedantins are very, what do you call, egoistic. You know, they're saying, I am God. Now, Vedanta, we don't say I am God, because when I say I am God, that is ego, because God created the whole world. What can I create? Only confusions. You know, I cannot create too many things. But when they say I am Brahman, and the difference between I am God is like, say, a wave and the ocean. No, wave doesn't say I am the ocean. Wave says I am limited. Ocean is my creator. I came from ocean. I will merge back into the ocean. But how are we similar? Because water is the same in both. That one water has become the ocean and has become the wave. So wave and ocean, they are different, but at the essence, they are one. So same way you and I are not God. We are not creator of the world, but God is all powerful. I am tiny, limited. God is my creator. I am created. I am small. But the essence between the me and all the devtas, you know, Bhagwan Shiva or Ram or Krishna or Lakshman or Bhagwan Shri Ram, Krishna, all of them, Mother Saraswati, you know, Durga, the essence of them is one. It is one Brahman who is appearing in all these forms. So that's why when we worship Lord Shiva, we worship the Shivaling also. The Shiva, the form is one, and Shivaling represents the formless, all pervading. So same way Bhagwan Shri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he shows Arjuna his, you know, Virat Roop in the 11th chapter to show that I am that supreme universe, and everything appears in that, in that Bhagwan's body. So that's why Arjuna gets so flabbergasted. So that is the idea that one Brahman appears as all. Everything, this chair, this lady, man, everything is Brahman alone. And that very clear understanding should be there. Then sometimes people criticize Vedanta that it's not practical. You know, in Christianity, they say, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Where does Vedanta say that? The problem sometimes comes when a person who has not studied Vedanta properly, and he will say, Aham Brahmasmi, I am beyond this world, the world is inferior. So when that wrong understanding comes, then they say, the world has to be detached, it is unreal. So it's not like that. Whenever, as long as we are in the body, we have to deal with the world. We cannot go beyond the world. Yes, my understanding may be that I am that Atma, the consciousness, but as a BMI, body, mind, intellect, I have to deal with the world at that level. I cannot go to the fourth floor and jump and say, I am Brahman, I won't get hurt. No, when you jump, you will break your head or maybe even die. So, but if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly Bhagavan emphasizes this point. Like here also he says, this person loves all, sees all, even in the previous shlokas. So it's not that Bhagavad Gita, in fact, Bhagavad Gita is the most practical text to say that it doesn't cover these points. Throughout the Gita, Bhagavan will come back to this point about, even in the hallmarks of a devotee in the 12th chapter, you know, everywhere, again and again, he will cover this point. So Bhagavad Gita is the most practical aspect. And human body, we already talked about, you know, my hand, my leg, everybody I love the most. And the problem with the finger, we talked about the faults. What happens? People are very funny. They, their own faults, they say, I don't have any faults, or it's minor. Somebody comes late to the office meeting. People say, yeah, what's the big deal? Just 5-10 minutes I came late. You know, I got caught in traffic. What are you upset about? But the next day he's on time and somebody else is late. This guy's mad. You know, he points out, oh, you know, this and that. So we see others' faults very quickly. We don't see our faults. I know one physician. I know it's, you know, it's to say, talk about him, but he says his attitude is that he is always late for every, you know, procedure, surgery. He's late, 30 minutes, 1 hour. He makes the patient wait, the staff wait, anesthesiologists wait, and you know, the doctor behind him wait, and he has no problem. He says it's okay. He never apologizes, never explains. But I saw him one time. He was on time, and the anesthesiologist was 15 minutes late, and he wrote him up and sent a letter to administration. I was there. So people don't see their faults, but they find others' faults very quickly. So this wise person does not see any faults. And he does not get angry. See, anger is again a very difficult thing that we get angry at others very quickly, but we don't think. We say, it's okay, my anger was justified. So this one guy told his friend, he says, you know what? I have gone to classes and meditation. I have overcome anger. I don't get angry. So the friend says, you don't get angry. You will get angry all the time. So immediately he gets angry. He says, how dare you? So, you know, we think that we don't have faults. And that's what the problem is. And then we talk a little bit about ahimsa. The person is non-violent in all dealings. Gandhiji taught us about the value of ahimsa. But ahimsa can be at the, body level, at the speech level, and at the mind level. So body level, we don't practice hinsa. We don't go around slapping people or hitting them, because then that person will call 911, I'll go to jail. But speech-wise, we have no problem, you know, with hinsa, with violence, you know, speaking angry words and criticizing people and pointing out their faults. And then so that is also violence, you know, speaking harmful. And they say even thoughts, if you have angry thoughts or negative thoughts about somebody, that is also himsa, that is also violence. So ahimsa should be practiced at the body level, mind level, and speech level. And at the mind level is the most important, because if you have negative thoughts or angry thoughts, say towards your boss, now you cannot say anything to him because you will get fired. But if you constantly have anger, then what will happen? It will create disturbance in your mind. Constant anger creates stress, creates all kind of even physical issues come from that. So that's why one should control the anger and not become violent. And sukham va yadi dukham va means one should not get over elated when things are going well. Oh, I am the greatest, and not get depressed, really depressed when things are going bad. Does not mean he's like a stone, but he knows that life may, you know, problems will come. Sometimes joys will come, sometimes sorrow will come. This reminds me of a beautiful story. So there was this king who told his prime minister that, I want you to tell me that, knowing which, a happy person becomes unhappy and an unhappy person becomes happy. He says, sir, I never heard of how a happy person, same thing, yes, same thing, makes happy person unhappy and unhappy happy. So king says, you know, you have 1 month to find out, and here is 1,000 gold coins. 500 you give to the person who gives you the solution, and 500 you keep for yourself. But you have 1 month, you know, if you don't bring the answer, you will be fired. So this person is afraid, you know, I don't know what it is. It's not only I'll be fired, I may also be killed. You know, kings used to say off with his head, you know, who he was unhappy with the smallest thing. So he's very worried, and he goes, he asks, you know, wise people in his kingdom, then goes to the smaller towns and villages. Nobody can tell him. 28 days have passed, and now he's worried, only 2 days left. And then one person tells him, you know, in the next village, there's a jeweler, Sunar, who's very wise and old. He might have the answer because he seems to know everything. So he goes to him and bows down and says, sir, I need your help. I have only 2 days. Tell me that which makes a unhappy person happy and makes a happy person unhappy. He says, oh, that's simple. You should have come to me sooner. Take this coin and give it to the king. And on the coin, it is written, this too shall pass. This too shall go away. And he says, this all, yeah, just tell him that, you know. So then he explains to him. So he gives him the 500 gold coins and goes to the king and said, this too shall pass. So the king said, what do you mean this too shall pass? How is that the answer? He says, sir, if you are unhappy, you look at this coin and say, this too shall pass. Unhappiness will go away and you'll become happy. And if you are happy, again, look at this coin, because this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. So either way, nothing is permanent. And that's how this person understands this relationship. This shloka is important, so I'm taking a little extra time. And the other ones are shorter. And then our love is like a business. You know, we don't love everybody. We say, if that person loves me, I will love him. Or if that person is kind to me, I will love him. Otherwise, I don't care. But a wise person says, I love everyone regardless of whether they love me or not. If they love me, fine. If they don't love me, I still love them. Mm-hmm. If they ignore me and run away, they still cannot escape my love. My love is for everyone and everything, and nobody can escape from my love, even a person who hates me the most. So that is the what do you call, the role of this wise person. And in life, changes happen, but this person remains balanced. And they say this knowledge should be given to people in childhood. You should start from childhood. That's why in our Bal Vihar, we have all these teachers who every Sunday come and give them the same message through the life of Sri Rama, Bhagwan Krishna, and all the Devis, and all the values they are taught, you know, all that. So right from pre-kindergarten all the way up to high school, where they are taught Bhagavad Gita and all that. This message is hammered to the children. Because children, unfortunately, the modern, they grow up with these computers and this, you know, whatever, these computer games, and they are shooting these people coming mindlessly, you know, and the parents are very proud. You know, last time he got 5,000, today he got 8,000. Are that many, you know, I mean, he's not really killing. You and I know that. But for a child, the reality and the fantasy, it mixes up. They think these are really, you know, enemies or strangers. So we have to inculcate them in childhood the values of love, patience, kindness. And as adults, we are role models. And of course, in our Bal Vihar and our scriptures, they talk about Sri Rama, how he was an ideal Purusha, Bhagwan Sri Krishna. And then Swami Chinmayananda and Ramakrishna Paramhans, the saints. So that is the examples that we give them, and they are our role models, and that's what one should practice. And the last point is, when I say I am Brahman, again, to make it very clear, what is Brahman? Sat, Chit, Anand. In essence, I am Brahman, but in my daily, it's not eternal, like Brahman is eternal. But when I say I am Sat, what it means is everybody wants to live forever. Even a person who is very old and sick, you know, he still wants, you know, to keep on living. So just as I want to live comfortably, I should make sure others live comfortably too. See, as I am Sat, then everybody is Sat. So it does not mean we'll leave forever, but that as long as I am living, I want to be comfortable, so I should think about others. Then Chit. Chit is knowledge. So just as I want, suppose there's something I don't know, I do not want people to take advantage of my ignorance and treat me badly. Same way, I should not take advantage of others' ignorance. So that is how I practice Chit. And be, what do you call, compassionate to others who are hurting or who don't know. And the third one is Anand. Anand means everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be blissful. Nobody wants to be sad. So just as I want to be happy, I should not make others unhappy. So that is how you practice Sat, Chit, and Anand. Otherwise, they are just words. Oh, I am Sat, Chit, Anand. I am Brahman. But how do we practice? I am compassionate to others' lives, to others' knowledge, and just as I want to be happy, I want everyone to be happy. This shloka has a lot of meaning, so I think this is something, even Gurudev's commentary, you should read, and then if you have chance to listen to this on firstpower.info. Now the next shloka is Arjuna's question. This is verse number 33. So Arjuna's question, actually the 33 and 34 are both Arjuna's questions. So number 33, Arjuna uvacha yoyam yogastvaya proktah. Samyena Madhusudana Etasyaham na pashyami Chanchalatvat sthitim sthiram. Together, Arjuna uvacha Yoyam yogastvaya proktah Samyena Madhusudana Etasyaham na pashyami Chanchalatvat sthitim sthiram. Beautiful question Arjuna asks. Arjuna uvacha. He asked, what did he say? Yoyam yogaha. That this yoyam, I am this yogaha. Tvaya proktaha is using the passive voice. This yogam which you have told us, which you have explained to us. And what is it, the yogam? Samyena Madhusudana. It is of the nature of equanimity, nature of sameness, seeing the same in all. Samyena Madhusudana. Madhusudana was one of Krishna's names. I'll explain how he got this name, Madhusudana. Etasya aham na pashyami. Etasya, of this, aham na pashyami. I don't see. What I don't see? Chanchalatvat sthitim sthiram. Due to agitation or disturbances of the mind, I do not see its sthitim sthiram. I do not see its long-term benefit. Yeah, temporarily you can quieten your mind, but the mind is very restless, chanchala. And where does he get these words? From his previous teaching of Bhagwan, where he says, you know, that whenever your mind goes here and there, the mind is chanchala, so this what you have explained to us previously. So what this shows us, that he's paying attention. He's not sleeping in the class, you know, when people doze off, you know, it's too difficult. No, he's awake. And he has listened very carefully. In fact, whenever he asks questions, we see that these questions are very beautiful. First of all, they are questions that we say, yeah, I also think this is my question, you know, would be also my question. And secondly, yeah, that's what, you know, he has spoken is so much sense. So like, you know, in this one, we'll say, yeah, you know, the mind is restless. How can it be stable? And I think Arjuna is right. And instead of listening to Bhagwan's Gita, we call it Arjun Gita. Why? Because in the first chapter, he said we shouldn't fight and people will be. I agree with Arjun. So people always have doubts, you know, they create doubts and not realizing that this message was given by Bhagwan, and Arjuna was a very good teacher. And the questions how a student should ask, we should learn from Arjuna. First of all, he asks very politely. You know, he doesn't arrogantly ask, oh, this point is wrong. And then secondly, he has thought over the question and paid attention. So when we ask a question, it should be with that idea that I should understand this topic. And whatever I have not understood, ask with humility, ask with respect, and ask at the right time. Like when Lakshmanji asks Bhagwan Sri Ram in the forest about the questions about which came out as Lakshman Gita in the Ramayana, and Lakshman asks these questions, he waits till when Bhagwan Sri Ram has finished all his, you know, morning duties, puja and breakfast and all, and he's sitting relaxed. Of course, forest, they didn't have much to do, but whatever, you know, they used to do that sadhana and meditation and all that. So he has done all that. He's sitting relaxed under the tree. That's when he says, Bhagwan, I have this question. And Sri Ram answers them. That became the Lakshman Gita in the Ramayana. So one should know when to ask and how to ask the question. So we learn from Arjun. Then the second point is Madhusudana. He calls him Madhusudana. So why Madhusudana? Because in Srimad Bhagavat, it comes, there were two demons who were Madhu and Kaitava, and who had been given the boon because they had done years and years of meditation, and they had become very powerful, and they were defeating all the devtas and conquering heaven and earth and everything. And they had the boon that nobody can kill them if they are in water. If they are in water, they cannot be defeated. So they used to stay underwater, and with that power, they would get it. And so then they ask, go to Bhagwan Vishnu, that they are torturing the whole earth and everything. And so Bhagwan Vishnu comes in the form of a boar and puts them on himself and carries them out, and then he's able to destroy them. So that is one reason. So Madhusudana means, of course, Krishna was same as Vishnu. Bhagwan Vishnu and Bhagwan Krishna are one. So that is one reason he was called Madhusudana, because he destroyed Madhu and Kaitav, two Rakshases. Other reason is, what is Madhu? Madhu is the end result of work. So the bees go to the different plants, collect the, you know, this essence of the plants, and then they go back to their hive, and then there are other worker bees. Some are collecting and others are working, and they are converting into honey in the honeycombs. So honey is the karma phala. You know, you have put karma and then the result is honey. So madhu is honey, you know, in Sanskrit and Hindi, lot of languages. So what it means is, when we call Bhagwan Madhusudana, that means he destroys our attachment to the fruit. See, when I work in the world, I always say, what am I going to get out of it? What is in it for me? Looking out for number one. And whatever I do, I want the result. So Bhagwan says, this idea of getting fruit and thinking what is in it for me, that selfish idea, Bhagwan destroys through knowledge, by giving us the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and himself working unselfishly. We talked before how he took care of Arjuna's chariot. So this idea of giving up the fruit of action is what Bhagwan destroys by knowledge. So that's why he's called Madhusudana. So there are two reasons. And then they say, you know, everyone is me, I am in all. You say, I don't want everyone in me. Few people, okay, I will take, but that guy, my neighbor, I don't want him, you know, or my brother-in-law, you know, that's another one. So, ye chahiye, ye nahi chahiye. No, a wise person says, they are all in me. Again, not does not mean they are physically or mentally in me. There's Atma, they are all in me. And everything that we get in this world is temporary. So same way he says, this knowledge of this Samya Sthitim Saran, I don't see the permanent usefulness. Yeah, for a while I sit for meditation for 5 minutes or so, my mind is quiet, and then it runs. So it's a temporary peace. So I don't think your meditation, this theory, he doesn't say it like that, but politely, I don't see how this can be permanently helpful. It is a temporarily, yes, you know, you are saying it will help. But when we listen carefully, then we'll see that Bhagwan will answer it. And what Bhagwan says, that problems come to everybody. Everybody in his life has problems. And there can be physical problems, you know, heat and cold, health and ill health, mentally, joy and sorrow, intellectually, success and failure. But a wise person remains balanced. And, you know, he had spoken in the previous shloka also, He says, I don't think, man can remain balanced in heat and cold, joy and sorrow, success and failure. And problems come. And I'm fine here in the class, and then I go out and somebody insults me or calls me a name or somebody cuts me off in traffic. I get so angry, I start honking and all. This calmness is not permanent. You to say that this yogi is all the time, I don't think so. But one may be some rare one, but for me it is not. So when we talk about asking for problems, asking questions, one should know what to ask, when to ask, and how to ask. So talking about ask, I have a story. So there was this man who worked for the DMV, and he worked for 1 or 2 years, and then he got promoted to a higher chair. And that old man was retiring. He had worked for 40 years since 1960, So he was retiring. So he cleaned out his desk, and this guy gets the promotion, and he's sitting at this old man's desk. I mean, not old man, but what he used to occupy. And he starts, and then he looks around, and there is this cupboard which he forgot to clean. He cleaned out his desk. So he said, let me clean the cupboard also. So he cleans the cupboard and he takes out all the old papers from 1962 and all. He's throwing them away. And then at the back, he sees a lamp with a lot of dust on it. And he starts cleaning the lamp. So what happens? In all these stories, a genie comes out. If you have an old lamp in your house, keep it, let the dust collect, because you'll get a genie. So this genie comes out and he says, as usual, sir, I have been in this lamp for so many years. You released me, so I give you 3 wishes. This guy says, I don't believe in this genie and all. This is all just humbug. He says, okay, you're a genie, bring me a Coke, So instantly a cold, ice cold Coke comes. He says, man, this is serious. I didn't think it was, and I wasted my one wish on this asking for Coke. I should have asked for something better. I'm such a fool. He says, but 2 wishes I'll have, I'll keep them carefully. And he was young and, passionate and all. He says, you know what? Genie put me in an island where I should be the king, and there should be a lot of beautiful girls around me, young girls, beautiful. Genie said, sir, no problem. He gets transferred to tropical island, where there's so much fruits and everything on the trees and beautiful weather, and on the sand he's lying down and enjoying, and there are girls all around him. Somebody's fanning him, somebody's bringing him drink and all. He says, oh wow, this is good, I asked for a good wish. And he's like that, and he forgets that he has a third wish because he's having so much fun. And then the genie doesn't forget. So he shows up there. He says, sir, what is your third wish? He says, oh, yeah, I forgot. I have to ask for third wish. He says, you know what? I'm having so, you know what? My third wish is I should never have to work another day in my life. Genie says, okay, transfers him back to DMV. He says, I should never. So he lost all his 3 wishes. So that's why one should know what to ask and when to ask. And one should ask intelligent questions. And when we have any doubt, we should go to the scriptures or go to the Mahatmas, the saints. We have so many teachers who come here, so many Swami Ishwarananda ji, Aparajita Nanda ji. Now in May, we will have Brahmacharini Sandhya Chaitanya ji from LA, and she'll come again in July. So May, she'll come for graduation and speak for 3-4 days. And then in July, after the summer camp, she'll also stay and speak. So when we have these teachers, one should take advantage of their knowledge, listen to them. And have full faith in the scriptures, Shraddha. It is very important, because what we think, yeah, it has been written, but I don't believe in it. I think it is something different. Are you are limited intellect, abhyaya, and then these are scriptures. And people find faults in Gita, find faults in Ram, find faults in Krishna, as if they are, somebody great. So one should know that these scriptures are like Gita is given by Bhagwan Sri Krishna himself and then translated by Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda. Not only Swami Chinmayananda, so many masters have written commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. They say this is the one text that has maximum commentaries written by scholars. You know, Radhakrishnan, Lokmanya Tilak, Vinoba Bhave, Eknath Ishwar, so many that we know of, and there are so many others who have written commentaries. So one should have complete faith. Faith does not mean blind faith. You know, I just believe it regardless. No, it should be faith with understanding. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji says that Shraddha is knowledge and belief in that higher power. When the two are combined, then that is called Shraddha. And Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the Gita also, he says that Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Only a person who has Shraddha, faith in the scriptures, will get the knowledge. If you are like a doubting Thomas, I'm not sure this is right, I'm not sure, then Bhagwan says, Sanshayatma vinashyati. In Gita again, he says, one who has faith in me and in the scriptures and in the knowledge will get the knowledge. One who has doubts, even about the teachings of great Mahatmas, great scholars, Bhagwan himself, then such a person perishes. Perishes does not mean he dies, means he does not reach any higher state of evolution. He will remain where he is. So that's why Shraddha is very important. Faith in Bhagwan, faith in the scriptures, faith in Guru, and fourth is faith in myself, that what is written by in the scriptures, by the gurus, or by Bhagawan, that I have faith in. And then I also have faith in myself, that so many Mahatmas have come and they have reached the highest. So why cannot I reach the highest? So faith, Shraddha is very important. And a lot of times people say, you know, I tried this knowledge, but I don't think it is, I didn't get any benefit. So they blame the knowledge. Oh, I read it, I didn't get any benefit. I've been reading Bhagavad Gita for, I've read it whole thing once. I have been meditating 6 months, I didn't get any benefit. So they say you didn't get the benefit. It's not the fault of the scriptures. It is you did not measure up to that. The lack is in your effort. You didn't put enough effort. You didn't have enough study, enough faith. And the scriptures are pramanam. You know, they are the proof. They are the authority. Tasmat shastram pramanam te, Bhagwan says in the Bhagavad Gita, tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karyau vyavasthitau. In the Bhagavad Gita itself, he says that let shastra be your pramanam. Let it be your proof. Let it be your yardstick, you know, that you measure your progress. Have I reached up to that goal that has been, you know, included or has been set by the Shastras? And if not, it's my fault. It's not the fault of the scriptures. I have to put more effort. I have to study and I have to understand. So we'll end here today. We have about 10 minutes for questions and comments. If anybody has, please ask. And also on Zoom, if anybody has questions, please feel free to ask. If you want to just summarize the two shlokas in brief term.
Hari Om. Thank you, Anil ji, as usual. I'm Krishna. In today's chapter 6, of course, it's supposed to be 32 to 34, so cover 32 and 33. I'll just go through a little bit of 34 also. So 32, the highest yogi is the one who sees oneself in everybody. And not just seeing, but actually feels their suffering and joy. So this is the last time we discussed about starting of the Advaita, but this is actually the practice of Advaita.
Right.
So the expression of Advaita is not just knowing that others are in oneself, but actually the practice where we feel it. So when we feel the suffering and pain of others in oneself or myself, compassion automatically flows without effort.
33 will do, not 38.
Okay. So 33, Arjuna asks, this is the question which I always have also, and I guess most a lot of people have. Arjuna asks, the question is, the yoga of equanimity and the steadiness of vision seems very difficult because the mind is very, very restless. So this is what I face also all the time. And that is why I keep coming back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah. Arjuna will expand on his question next week, hammer it a little more, because he thinks Bhagwan has not understood my question. But Bhagwan knows this question even before he asks it. But anyway, so he thinks Bhagwan does not know, so he will repeat his question with more emphasis, and then Bhagwan gives a beautiful answer in number 35. So we'll do that next week. 34 is his question, and then 35 is the answer. On this.
No, actually, I really like the example you gave about the story of the king. And that one, actually, when you were saying, in my mind, I was also thinking, but I thought time is up, you know, kind of.
Right.
So that was the thing I had in my mind when you mentioned that something that makes an unhappy person happy and a happy person unhappy would be that nothing lasts. So I think that was a very, but very nicely explained.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll end here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om asato ma satgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya. Om shanti shanti shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om.